Hallelujah. Y'all got a tall preacher, don't you? Lord have mercy. Well. That singing there is like Nanner Pudding, ain't it? It'll take a whole lot of that to make me sick. I could take a couple more doses of that, I believe. Amen. Well, I like anything that lifts up the Savior, don't you? I'm still amazed. I've never got over that I'm not under the bondage of sin anymore. Never got past that I'm free at last. Oh, thank God. Boy, I'm telling you, we better never quit being amazed at what God's done and what God's doing. Take your Bible, if you will, and let's go to the Gospel of John and chapter number 14. We were in the Old Testament last night, looking in the book of Isaiah, and God had us preach on the remnant. And tonight I want to look at John chapter 14. You found that place, let's stand together in honor of the reading of the Word of God. If you're physically able, that baby hasn't fell asleep in your lap already. We certainly understand if you're not physically able, and we definitely understand if that baby's asleep, amen. But if you can, let's honor the Word of God. John chapter number 14, and look at verse number 20. The Bible says, "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him." I want you to look at this phrase right here tonight. "And will manifest myself to him." Keep reading. "Judas saith unto him," not Iscariot, not the bad one, the other one, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us as we do our very best, Lord, to bring the message that you put on our heart. And God, I pray, Lord, you'd give us that unction from on high. And that power, God, that can only come from you. God, tonight, Lord, we don't need a demonstration of the flesh, for no flesh should glory in thy presence. God, what we need is a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. For God, it is not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit, saith the Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you do a work in our midst tonight that we could only attribute to your power and to your might. And God, I pray you use us tonight. Let us be that instrument, Lord, in your hand, the glove that close your hand as you do a mighty work among us. And God, I'll give you the praise and the glory for everything you got to say to us tonight. And God, I pray you make us responsible for it in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank God. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight, God being my helper, on "I will manifest myself unto you." Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight that I believe with all my heart. It's not necessarily popular in the Baptist church or popular today, but I'll tell you this. I believe that God doesn't manifest himself everywhere, and I believe God doesn't manifest himself to everybody. And listen, I want to say this. I want to say this. I'm hungry for the presence of God. Now, I've had a few of our brethren, preacher, look at me a little sideways when I say that. And they'll say something like this. They'll say something like this. They'll say, well, brother, don't you know God is everywhere? I say, you reckon? Of course he is. He's God. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere, fully present at all times. There is no place you can go where God does not exist. The Bible tells us that David said, if I were to make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And I'm here to tell you something. You can run, but you can't hide from a God who's everywhere. But I want to tell you something tonight. We need to be hungry and looking for and desiring the presence of God in our lives. We need to desire the presence of God in our prayer closet. We need to desire the presence of God in our church services. There is something missing in many of our services, and it is simply the manifested presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, he's omnipresent. I know he is, but I got news for you. He's a whole lot of places people don't know he's at. I'm looking for a place where you walk out of there and say, hold on a second. God's been here. God's been here. I've been with the Lord. I've been with Jesus. Jesus said, I will manifest myself unto him, unto that man, in John chapter 14 and verse number 21. I would say God's going to manifest himself through three different avenues. I want to focus on one, but I want to give you all three. They're right here in our text. Look at your Bible. The Bible tells us, number one, he'll manifest himself through his sayings. Through his sayings. Look what the Bible says. He that hath my, say that with me, commandments. Look what he said. He says this. He says in verse number 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And the Father will love him, will come unto him and make our abode with him. Look at this. He says in verse 24, he that loveth me and keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I, say this with me, spoken unto you, which being yet present with you. And he said, the Holy Ghost is going to come and he's going to teach you some things. I want to tell you this. I believe that God manifests himself through his sayings, through his scripture, through the word of God. You know what I'm tired of, preacher? I'm tired of hearing about opinions in the pulpit. I don't need an opinion. I need God's word. God said it. That settles it. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, it was a song that said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it for me. It's a pretty little song, I like it. But the reality is, God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. It's settled forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. And God is manifesting himself through that book. That book is not just any book. It's a living, breathing book. It's a powerful book. It embodies the very person of God in that book. Jesus said, I am the Word. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you tonight, he's going to reveal himself, manifest himself. He'll do it through that book right there. Oh, hallelujah. You say, preacher, I'm looking for his presence. I'll tell you where to find it. You jump anywhere in that book. You can land on any page and look around a little while. And if you say, Lord, I'm looking for you, he'll show up on every page in that Bible. That Bible you hold in your lap is a photo album. And on every page is a picture of Jesus. Amen. Oh, you can get in Leviticus and you'll find out he's the Lamb. You'll find out he's the high priest. You'll find out he's the tabernacle. You'll find out he's the brazen altar. You'll find out he's the laver. You'll find out he's the showbread. You'll find out he, hallelujah, is the holy of holies. I'm telling you right now, you can look around and everywhere you look, you'll see Jesus in that book. Now, that's not my message tonight, but it's real. And I'm going to tell you right now, the more they remove the Bible from the pulpit, the less you're going to see Jesus in the house of God, the less we'll see him in the meetings, the less we'll see him in our movements, and the less we'll see him in our men. We need to get in that book and let that book get in us. Oh, we need to get a hold of the Word of God. But more importantly, we need to let the Word of God get a hold of us. Boy, I'm telling you, thank God for men of God that'll still preach the Word of God when it isn't popular. Hallelujah. I didn't come to be popular. Amen. I came to preach the Word.
Amen.
Oh, I had them tell me, preacher, that's not very popular. I think they were making a suggestion.
Yeah.
Honey, God didn't call His men to be popular.
Amen.
He called them to be preachers.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you tonight. Hey, listen, you know, I pray regularly, and I want you to say this. I pray regularly the prayer that I see in Jesus' life in Luke chapter 1. The Bible says that Jesus grew in favor with God and with men, because I realize I can't be effective if I do not have favor with God. Amen. Somebody say amen. But it's also hard to be effective if you don't have favor with men. But I pray, oh God, I pray tonight as I come to this meeting, God, I pray You'll give me favor with God and give me favor with men. But God, if I got to choose between the two, there's no competition. I'm not interested in men's favors. I need the favor of an almighty Jehovah God. I need His favor.
Amen.
It's in that book. Boy, the less we have of that book, the less we'll have of His manifested presence in our services, in our prayer closet, in our lives. That's just one of the avenues through which we'll have the manifested presence of, and we need it. We need it. There was a time when people came praying and begging God for His presence in the service.
Right.
Now they don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
Now they don't even know what it is. They come to church and go home from church and never even got into His presence. People go in their prayer closet, rush in there and rush out and never even get into the presence of God.
Right.
Don't even know what it's like to have His presence in their prayer closet. Something's missing.
Yeah.
And our preachers can't preach about it or create a hunger in people for it because they haven't experienced it.
Right.
Oh my. Alright, the second thing, notice, He's going to manifest, so He's going to manifest Himself through my sayings, He says. Through His sayings. That's right there in verse 24. I'll tell you how this He's going to do it. If He manifests Himself, He'll manifest Himself through His Spirit. I know we're Baptists, it'll be alright. A lot of Baptists got nervous on this Holy Ghost thing. I love going to Baptist church. I'm a Baptist. I'm Baptist core. I was born Baptist before I even knew it was the biblical thing to be. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm Baptist by choice. Even though I was born into a Baptist family, I'm Baptist by choice because there was a time in my life when I tested everything my daddy taught and everything my preacher preached. There was a time in my life, preacher, listen, I was in Bible college questioning God on everything. You hear me? I question God on everything. And you know what I decided? I mean, I was young and there was a little bit of rebellion in my heart. And I was going, you know what? I don't want to believe this because my dad believes it. That's not enough reason for me to go live some kind of life. And there was a little bit of rebellion in there, but God used that thing on me and turned it around on me. Because I got to study my Bible so I could prove my daddy wrong, so I could go live like I wanted to. And turned out daddy was pretty right. Turned out that book, he was right on line with that book.
Amen.
Turned out he'd been reading that thing after all.
Amen.
Turned out he knew what he was saying. Turned out the preachers I grew up under had been preaching the Word of God.
Amen.
Hey, listen, you ought not be afraid to question a preacher. Hey, listen, if he don't line up with the Bible, well, you better find you another one. But I'm going to be honest with you, there was a little bit of rebellion. I was pushing against some things. And I was in Bible college trying to get my Bible degree. And I was questioning God and pressing on I'm telling you what's the truth. I got deeper. I got in that thing. The more I realized, I come out on the other side of that thing. A Baptist by choice, not a Baptist by birth. By the way, if all you are is a Baptist by birth, you'll go to hell just like everybody else. You got, listen, God, hallelujah, you can't inherit this thing. You got to be born into it. I don't know how I got off on that, but I'll tell you this. I love going, I'm Baptist. I love going, I'm telling you, I'm Baptist. I love Baptist. I'm a Baptist. I die to be a Baptist. For what I believe in, I believe a man ought to be able to die. He ought to be willing to die for what he believes in. And I'm going to be honest with you, if things keep going the way they're going, we might get a chance. Oh yeah. I'm telling you, I didn't come to be popular. I believe preachers ought to preach against sin. I believe they ought to call it what it is.
Right.
I believe they ought to preach against sodomy, fornication, adultery.
Amen.
I believe they ought to preach against alcohol, preacher. People are backing off of that thing,
right,
acting like it's okay. I'm going to tell you something God said. God said that you ought not even look up on it when it turns in the bottle. God said you shouldn't even look at it. Shouldn't even look at it. I don't know why I'm preaching on alcohol, not, but it's worth it, amen.
Amen.
Hear what I'm telling you. I'm Baptist. But I'm telling you, I love going to Baptist church and scare people. It's the funnest thing you ever done. These churches that forgot the old time way, forgot the preacher's supposed to sweat and spit and scream and holler and shout. I love it. I love going to them churches. And they invite me back. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen in your life. I go in there and preach a little while, and I'll say stuff like Holy Ghost, and Baptists about pass out. Woo! He's Pentecostal. Honey, Holy Ghost is in the Bible. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I'm glad tonight for the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, I may not even get to what I was wanting to preach. I may have to, listen, I will show you some things right here in your Bible real quick that it wasn't even on my radar. But look right here in verse 26. Well, turn over to verse number, chapter 16 and verse 8. I'll show you something about the Holy Ghost. The Bible said when he's come, he's talking about that comforter in verse 7, the one that he promised in chapter 14 and in chapter 16 and in verse 8 it said when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit convicts with a reproving word. The Holy Ghost convicts. That's what he does. Boy, I thank God for Holy Ghost conviction. You said it. God had to finally make you realize you don't got no special deal with God. He hung you over a barrel. You know something? God did me the same way. I was 8 years old. And God said, boy, I sat on the bottom bunk of a little old rental house on a dead end road in Tunnel Hill, Georgia. I was laid on that bunk on a Wednesday night after walking out of church under conviction on the second row. Amen. I laid on that bed and God said, son, I'm going to give you one more chance. You can lay in this bed and try to go to sleep, or you can go down the hallway and tell your daddy and mama you need to get born again, or I'm not bothering you anymore. He'd been bothering me for 18 months straight. So I was only 8 years old, preacher. And I'm telling you, I don't like telling people that because they don't know what to think about it. But I'm here to tell you right now, God said, I'm done messing with you, son. I was only 8. Honey, I didn't smoke, drink, or chew, or even hang out with people who do. But the Holy Ghost came into the life of a 7-year-old boy, a 6.5-year-old boy, and started putting him in conviction. I'm going to tell you that when the Holy Ghost settled down on my pew, and I was 6.5 years old, he told me, you're lost. I argued with him. I said, oh, no, you got, Lord. Now, my best buddy over here, Troy, he's pretty bad shape. And you know what the Holy Ghost said? Listen, you know what the Holy Ghost, I love this. The Holy Ghost said, he'll let his yea be yea and his nay be nay. By the way, if you're confused about whether you're saved, you're probably saved. Because the devil operates in confusion. The Holy Ghost operates in conviction.
Amen.
He sat down on my pew and said, you're lost. I said, no, I'm the preacher's son. He said, you're lost. I said, I never skipped Sunday school. I'm talking about over the course of 18 months. He said, you're lost. I said, hey, I got a faithful attendance pen. He said, you're lost. I said, I won the quiet seat prize in junior church. He said, you're lost. And I argued and argued and argued with God. Finally, one night on the bottom bunk, he said, this is the last time I'm arguing with you, honey. I got out of that bed. I'll never forget this. I looked at that pillow and I didn't say it out loud because my brother was asleep right there. I got pill and I said, devil, you're not getting me. I'm out of here. I went down the hallway, hit that door. My mom and dad, I walked through the door. I didn't know what they was going to think. You didn't interrupt my mom and dad. They'd whoop you into the next week, honey. I knocked that door open. My dad said, you need to get saved, don't you? I thought I had everybody fooled. I said, yeah, I didn't get saved. I knelt down by a queen-size bed. It became an old rock altar. And I got born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. His yay, yay. His, you know what? You know he's been telling me ever since? The same Holy Ghost that said, you're lost, and I argued. He said, you're lost, and I argued. He said, you're lost, and I argued. There was times when I got away from God, and I got confused. And I'd say, I think I'm lost. And the Holy Ghost said, you're saved. I'd say, I can't be. Not the way I am. You're saved. You're saved. Hey, his yea's yea, his nay's nay. Somebody say amen. The Holy Ghost will come and he will convict. Look, that's right there. The Holy Ghost will convict with a reproving word. Oh, by the way, listen. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Holy Ghost will preach more than one message at one time through one man.
Amen. Go ahead.
We got a Ford van at the church. I'm not a Ford man. I'm a Chevy man. I'm saved. What about the rest of y'all? Now, that's just it. That's how it is. Sorry. By conviction, amen. And so, but let me tell you that Chevrolet van. That Chevrolet van, if you don't put that seatbelt on, it'll ping at you about 3 times and it gives up on you. It say, go ahead and die if you want to. But that Ford van ain't like that. That thing will never stop screaming at you. If you don't put that seatbelt on, it goes, about 2-3 minutes later, about 2-3 minutes later, about 2-3 minutes later, my wife's looking at me like, you gonna put it on? And I gotta be honest with you. Sometimes as a red-blooded American man who doesn't think the government ought to intrude into my private life, sometimes I just refuse to put it on. Now, it is not the right thing to do. A man ought to honor the law. And if he gets pulled over, he ought to get the ticket. If he gets it, he earns it. He got it, he ought to get it. But there's just sometimes there's a rebel in here that says, I'm not putting it on. Especially when my wife says, you gonna put it on?
Yeah, preach that.
I say, stop playing the role of the Holy Ghost in my life. You know something, that thing aggravates me, irritates me, it's rebuking me. But I do school inspections for private schools in the tri-state area and down in D.C. And when I go down that area, because I have a CDL license, I cannot afford to get a ticket for that kind of stuff. It could cost me my CDL license. And so when I'm out on the road, I always wear my seatbelt. But when I was down there doing those visits, I'm running into a school. I'm trying to do a visit, get back out, fill out paperwork, do the computer stuff, get in the car, try to get to the next school, try to do 3 schools in a day. That's tough down in that area with all that traffic and all those crazy people live down there. The very seat of Satan. And I want to wear my seatbelt down there. There's cops everywhere. I mean, police officers everywhere. But I'll be so busy. I'll get in that truck, do my paperwork, do my computer stuff, and I'll put it in drive. And about the time I get to the road, that Ford will go, But because I want to wear my seatbelt, I say, oh man, thank goodness. Thank you for that warning. Thank you for that reminder. Thank you for that encouragement to put this tool into place that I need to use. And because I don't want to get killed by them crazy people down there. And I don't need to get a ticket and lose my CDL. I'll be gladly put it on. Can I tell you something? In one spirit, when I'm rebelling, it's reproving and rebuking me. But when I am wanting to do right, when I'm wanting to live right and be right, it's just encouraging me and exhorting me to do right. I wish I had me somebody right here right now. You see, here's the thing. The messenger hasn't changed. It's a machine. It can't change. Can't even change its own oil. It can't. The messenger hasn't changed, and the message hasn't changed. The message is, you don't have your seatbelt on. And the tone of the message didn't even change. It's still going, And the one day I'm bad and rebelling and refusing and angry and wish it would shut up. I've even been tempted, preacher, to go to a junkyard, buy me a seatbelt, and plug it in just to shut the preacher up. But on the day when I want to do right, on the day when I want to be right, that thing's, I say, oh, thank you. Boy, I sure appreciate that. I'm glad that thing went off before I got out here where all these crazy people are. And I'm grateful for the seatbelt, and I'm thankful for the message, and I'm thankful for the messenger. I wish I had me somebody tonight. But tonight, right now, some of you are saying, praise God, he's firing me up. And some of you saying, I wish he'd shut up and get out of here and let us go. Doesn't he know what time it is? Doesn't he know I got better things to do? I don't care what he said. I'm going to hit that back door as soon as he bows his head. But the Holy Ghost, he will convict. And God reveals himself and manifests himself through his Spirit. Look right down there in that same text. Verse number 13. Oh, look here. The Bible says look at chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Look at this. And he shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Can I say this? Praise God. The same Holy Ghost that convicts with a reproving word is the same Holy Ghost that conceives with a redeeming word. He can, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost didn't just convict me. He conceived me and birthed me in the family of God by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, I'm born of the Spirit. Amen. Thank God I've been born of the Spirit. He is the same one that convicts, is the same one that conceives. But look at this. The Bible even shows us something else. Look at this. Not only does he convict with a reproving word, the Holy Ghost conceives with a redeeming word. But look at verse number 13 of chapter 16. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Not only will he convict with a reproving word, not only does he conceive with a redeeming word, but he confirms with a revealing word. He'll confirm everything that Jesus said. The Holy Ghost is here to confirm everything Jesus said and to confirm who Jesus is. Hallelujah. I'm glad to tell you, there is a witness in our world today that's telling the world Jesus saves. Jesus is the darling Son of God. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb. Jesus is the only way of salvation. And the Holy Ghost is manifesting Jesus through a confirming word. Oh, the Holy Ghost there in chapter 16 convicts with a reproving word. Boy, he conceives, he bursts in the family through a revealing word. But then he confirms as he shows us more about Jesus and about Jesus. Let me show you one more. Go back to our chapter, chapter 14. The Bible says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Can I tell you this? The Holy Ghost not only convicts with a reproving word, he not only conceives with a redeeming word, he not only confirms with a revealing word, but the Holy Ghost of God comforts with a reminding word. Hallelujah. Whew. I don't know about y'all, my memory's not that good. I'm telling you, I'm like them disciples. Are y'all like them disciples? Somebody said, oh, not me, I'm not that good. Oh, honey, I'm so much like him, it's ridiculous. Amen. I'm like them disciples. And they went out there in that desert place and there was nothing to eat. And they said, we don't got enough money to buy bread for this crowd. We can't do nothing with this. We're all dried up and run out. We don't know what to do. What, you want us to go buy a little bit of bread? I mean, we got nothing. He said, look, see what you got. And they found a little old lad out there with a little old lunch. And Jesus blessed it and break it. Hallelujah. And started having a buffet.
Amen.
And all you can eat buffet. I believe that's biblical right there. Hallelujah. And all you can eat buffet. He said, just take it and keep feeding them until they got all they could want. And when they got done, they gathered up 12 baskets. Then Jesus put them on a ship. Said, I want you to go to the other side. Can I tell you, if God says go to the other side, you're going to make it.
Amen.
You ought to get excited about that, because there is another side to this thing.
Amen.
Oh, we're on the stormy side here, but honey, there's a sweet side over yonder. Hey, we're on the dark side of the cloud over here, but there's a silver lining on the other side. There is another side for the child of God tonight. I'm glad that God has told me to get on the ship and we'll go to the other side.
Amen.
They got out there and a little storm came. Oh, it might have been big to us, but it never was impressive to God. It might have been big to them sailors, but it never was impressive to God. And they got in the middle of that storm and started fearing. You know what Jesus said to them? He said, have you forgotten the miracle of the loaves? You know what I believe, Brother Randy? I believe them old baskets was a bumping them in the knees. Baskets full of bread. Bumping them in. Every time the wind would blow that ship, a basket would bump one of them. Every time a wave would hit it, a basket would bump one of them. Every time the ship would rock, a basket would bump another one. But they are so concerned with the storm they's in, they forgot they serve a God who can take nothing and feed everybody and take care of his people. I'm telling you, I need a reminder once in a while. And I'm going to tell you, when I remember, when I look back, when the Holy Ghost says, have you forgot where Jesus brought you from? Have you lost the amazement of the grace of God when he reminds me of where I've been? It can comfort me for where I'm at.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, that's the introduction. You think I'm joking? Hallelujah. Well, I don't think we're going to get to the last one. I think God's preached what he wants to preach. Somebody's in here tonight, the Holy Ghost working you over big time. He started working you over, and Brother Randy started testifying. I could feel the Holy Ghost breathe on that thing. And the Holy Ghost, He was a talking to you while they was a singing. He's a talking to you while they was a testifying. And the Holy Ghost is working you over tonight. And honey, let me tell you something. You have two options, just like Brother Randy did that Easter Sunday morning. You got two options, just like I did on that dark Wednesday night. I'm going to tell you right now, you have two options. You can either yield to the Holy Ghost, or you can resist Him and turn away from Him. I don't know if it'll be the last time or not. That's not my business. That's God's business. But I'm here to tell you, hallelujah, there is a Holy Ghost of God, and He is manifesting the presence of Jesus in this place.
Amen.
The question that was raised in that court, what would you have me to do with Jesus? That has always been the question. What will you do with Jesus? If we're going to have old time Holy Ghost services and keep having them, and if we're going to keep having we're going to have the presence of God. And that's going to come through three avenues. It's going to come through His sayings. It's going to come through His Spirit. And I'll give you the last one. I ain't going to preach it. It'll come through His servants. He said right there in that very first verse we read, He said, when I'm gone, you'll find out I'm in the Father. And the Father's, hallelujah, He's in you and you're in me, hallelujah. And He said, I'll reveal myself to a sin-dying world through my servants.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't know if I'll get to preach it or not, but God's revealing Himself, making Himself manifest, making Himself clear. But you know that's what God does?
Yes, sir.
He does it so well. A little gal came out to that well to draw that water. Boy, God showed up. She didn't know it was God. Do you know what God did? He showed her who she was. When she saw who she was real clear, she began to recognize who He was. Oh, and when she knew who she was, and she knew who He was, that was all she needed to know. She could get it all taken care of. Jesus manifested Himself to her. Let's stand together all over the auditorium tonight. You say, preacher, I...